one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, what
do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports. This is the place where sports opinions collide.
All right.
You are now watching Dead in Sports with Kenneth B. Inge, BZ430, Nikki Duse, and Shelton J. Thank you guys for joining us this evening.
Q, tonight, you're going to join us soon, right? Q, you said Q coming in.
Q will be joining us soon. The six man. Tonight, we will be discussing the blockbuster trade that took place with James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets from the Houston Rockets. And we will be listing our top five players of the NBA by position. So, without further ado, let's get into the show.
Oh, all right, that was one of the weirdest openings. But Ken, y'all did a live reaction the day of we heard about this blockbuster trade. So I want to get y'all thoughts as far as B and Shelton, y'all reaction.
All right, so before you get started, so to my understanding, it was a 4-team trade, right?
It was 14.
So the Nets got James Harden and 2024 second round pick from Cleveland. The Rockets got Victor Oladipo, who's I'm rumored he wants to go to Miami. Dante Exum and Radion, Karukes.
Yeah, I couldn't get it either.
Yeah, that's who the Rockets got.
Hella picks.
Yeah, Rockets got Brooklyn's three unprotected first round draft picks, 2022, 2024, 2026, and plus the swaps of 2021, 2023, 2025, 2027. Also, Milwaukee's 2022 first round pick via Cleveland. The Pacers got Chris LeVert and 2023 second round pick from Rockets. And then Cleveland got Jared Allen from the Nets and Taurean Prince from the Nets. So, okay, you was about to ask me, Nick. What was you about to say, Nick?
I was just asking you, like, what was your, like, now that we know about all the details, like, what's your reaction?
Yeah, it made me think, like, do the organization, are they, the reason why they pulled this, the Nets organization. And, of course, we already knew what the Rockets was. Ever since that press conference that James Harden had, it was a done deal. That was his last night playing as a Rocket. But my feeling is thinking that the Nets pulled the trigger, because if it's something about Kyrie that we don't know about, you know what I'm saying? Mentally, I hope Kyrie is all right. I hope he's not going through something or whatever. I mean, I ain't about to sit back and clown him and joke him or whatever, because if he really going through something, then whatever. But I don't know if the Nets is thinking, like, man, we might – something might be up with Kyrie. We might not have him this season, or we might try to make a deal for him or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's why they pulled the trigger for bringing Harden on there on the team. And I kind of think the Rockets, from the look of it, I think the Rockets had the better of the trade deal, I think. I mean, especially if Victor Oladipo plans to stay with Houston and play alongside a healthy DeMarcus Cousins and a healthy John Wall and P.J. Tucker and them. I think the Rockets got a better of that deal, I think. You know, of course, the draft picks that the Rockets got remain to be seen if they can make use of it, if maybe they might use it for other trade baits or anything else. I think the Pacers, I think Chris LeVert, I think we're getting ready to see. I think him going on that team, we're getting ready to see what he's really about now. I think he's going to really – that's going to be the team for him to kind of like really shine along with Sabonis and Miles Turner over there with Indiana. So it's going to be nice to see him even develop more into a better shooting guard than what we already seeing. Because he's young, you know, fresh guy, you know, young, tall, shooting guard can cause mismatch problems. So I think that's pretty interesting to see. And then Cleveland, I mean, of course, Nets, you give up a good bench role player guy and Jared Allen, good defensive block guy. And two defensive guys, really, and those two guys that the Nets gave up to go to Cleveland. So, I mean, Cleveland didn't really – they just got better defensively, but really nothing really else happened to make Cleveland a contenders. But yeah, that's my overall thoughts on that. When I saw Chris LeVert to the Pacers, I'm like, okay, I'm wondering in another 2 or 3 years, we're going to be naming him as like a top five shooting guard or whatever in the league. So, yeah.
My reaction was he got what he wanted, you know, like he got Harden. Yeah, Harden, like, because I mean, at the end of the day, Brooklyn won the trade. Out of all the players that got moved, Brooklyn won the trade because they can win now. It was like he got what he wanted. And my second thought was, what the hell is going on with Kyrie? Because if he just, you know, comes back, like just to come back and just be a part of the team again, they're the title favorites. We could talk about all the other shit.
About the Nets?
The Nets. Like if Kyrie comes back and just be Kyrie for the rest of the year, and I know that's a lot to ask for, especially what we've seen so far in the season, but they're the title favorites, at least in my eyes. And then the second thing is, I do agree with you, B, like Chris LeVert, like I want to see what he can do because I fuck Karis with him. LeVert. Karis LeVert, my bad. I fuck with him and his game style. I want to see how he can blossom in Indiana. I'm hoping it's not like how Lance Stevens, when he left Indiana and went to Charlotte and ain't do shit. Like, I want to see if he can actually, you know, become something. Anyway, Houston is like, I hope Oladipo stays in Houston. Because like you said, like John Wall, him, and if DeMarcus Cousins can get somewhat back to what he was.
Yeah.
Like, that's a solid playoff team, potentially. So, it's a lot of stuff that happened, but that was my main reaction, is that damn, Harden got what he wanted. Like, all that bitching and moaning worked.
Yeah. I mean, it did eventually. But I'm just...
That shit, B went out.
The B freeze.
Yeah.
They got him looking stupid.
Hell nah.
Did y'all have anybody, like, what team really stood out to you outside of Brooklyn that won in this trade?
Like I said yesterday, the Rockets, to me, like I said, getting all those picks and securing those picks, that helps them to move towards the future. They didn't go away empty-handed from this. They were going to lose them anyway, and I think it was just the greater gift that they can get by going where they went.
Oh, so what the
instead of going to, you know, they had a deal with Philly on the table as well. I didn't think that they would trade him back to Maury anyway. So that's the move that they had to make. And like I said, they got a haul for it. So if Victor Oladipo stays and plays well and can stay healthy, then you win that trade completely because you got picks coming behind it and you can build around the talent that you have. John Wall and Boogie, healthy, is a nice nucleus to have. So I don't see it being bad for them at all.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think given how Harden showed out, the fact that they were able to get such a haul back in return shows a lot about whoever is running that front office. Now, I don't have their names off the top of my head because he very well could have depressed, you know, his worth by doing that, especially after what he said the night before and them sending him home. So, you know, it could have forced the Rockets to put them in a situation where they'll just take whatever they can get. But they got four picks, and I think some more in return for that. First round picks that are unprotected. And I think with the Rockets in a situation where, you know, they're rebuilding, to get a value like that. Now, we know they're not going to be like lottery picks, but, you know, if those last two or three picks that they got as part of the package could be lottery picks once all three of those players leave in a year or two. So I think we could be very well looking at another situation where Brooklyn did this same thing years ago when they got KG, Paul Pierce, and they traded all those picks to get them, and they turned out not to be shit. They did make the playoffs. They were win now, like you said, Nick, but they didn't win. And then eventually all those picks they had went to the team that they traded them for, which I think went to Boston, and then Boston ended up cleaning house.
That's how they got Jason Tatum.
Yeah. So, but the future is unclear. We don't know how it's going to turn out. But I think it did in regards to the Nets, put them in a prime position now to win. But we all know that whole situation is volatile.
It is.
That's what I was going to ask y'all. My next question before we get into the our top five discussion is, one, will Kyrie return? And two, will he be productive?
I think he's coming back, and I think he'll be productive. But it's just hard to say what that's going to look like. It's going to be sacrifices. I think that I saw somewhere today, like, the three of them account for, like, 16% of the point share, something like that, or some figure like that that's really high. So you're going to ask all three of them to make sacrifices and kind of change their game to fit each other somewhat. And I think they can do it. I don't think it should be a problem getting it done. It's just a matter of when you're going to start working on it, because the time is now. You know what I'm saying? Let's get in the gym and get to work. And we don't know what's going on.
I think Durant, out of anybody, I think Durant wouldn't have no mind adjusting his game because he had to do it at Golden State. My issue is, you know, with two ball dominant guards as in Kyrie and James Harden, that's going to really be interesting how that dynamic is going to go. Because they, like I said, both of them are very ball heavy. If anybody would be less ball heavy, it'd probably be Harden, because Harden was kind of playing the point when it was him, KD, and Russell. Whenever all three of them was out in the court, Harden was more of the point guy and Russell was more of the off guard. And maybe Kyrie, they can probably do some stuff like that where Kyrie be the off guard. But who the hell is playing defense over the Nets? I just thought about that because they let go of Allen. He was like a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and Prince.
Yeah, and Prince. Like, you let go of your some of your best wing defenders. You don't have Spence right now, who's a good defender at the guard position. I mean, DeAndre Jordan, but he's not the same DeAndre Jordan from the Clipper days. I mean, he can still board and, you know, in defense and defend the block, but it's not the elite level that he used to be. So I'm like, who playing defense for the Nets? But I'm just thinking offensively. I want to see how Harden and Kyrie Irving coexist once Kyrie come back, and hopefully he can get back on track and they can start playing. Because I can see it definitely. You're right, Shelton. I can definitely see it being some type of getting used to her funk, because he's just like abandoning his team without the organization knowing, you know what I'm saying? So I'm interested to see when or if Kyrie come back. For one, if he comes back, will it be on a consistent basis? You know, we can see Kyrie come back, play 10 games, and all of a sudden Kyrie go missing again for another 5 games. So we just don't know. But if he does come back consistent, I want to see how him and Harden will coexist, because they both ball dominant players, man, both ball dominant guards.
Well, I think Kyrie is the one that has now turned into the third option. Mm. So we're talking about a guy that wanted out of Cleveland because he didn't want to be seen as the second option, the Robin, right, so to speak. So now you go to Brooklyn, where it's supposed to be you and your homie, man. Like, y'all talked about it all off season. Y'all playing for it, man. It's just, you know, just the both of us. You know, it's the two of us. You know how the song goes. So and now, you know, you kind of wild out. You leave. Now Harden is there. So the team is different when you come back. There are reports that you are upset with the organization because you didn't want Steve Nash or had any say-so in the hiring decision, and that you and KD are now having friction. So that was before they got Harden. So now they got Harden. You come back. You're the third guy to touch the ball, even though you're probably one of the most electric guys to touch a ball that can score at any given moment. But this isn't really about his game. This is about his mindset. So how do you feel when you come back and you're the last person to get the ball on a possession? Or it's coming down the stretch. Who's going to be the closer? Who's going to take the last shot? So those are the things that I can't wait to see how it plays out. Because like I said last night, you guys wasn't there, so I'll say it again for everybody here today. I think this completely makes Kyrie expendable. I think that... he is in danger of possibly being out the league. Well, and Shelton brought that point up when I said trade it last night. Who's going to want to touch him? Because you don't know if he's going to play. So you trade for him, and then he pulls a James Harden on you. So I think the brother in trouble, man. I think he's in serious trouble in terms of his career in the NBA. So that's crazy. I don't know.
That's crazy, because this is like the best part. Like, you would think objectively, anybody would look at this situation like, this is probably the most interesting part of his career. Like, what could he do with KD and Harden? Like, this is just, you know, NBA 2K fantasy right now. But because of whatever he's dealing with, we may not get to see that. And in my eyes, if everything played out like right as far as him coming back, I would think that Harden would play the point and Irvin would be the two or play the off guard position and just focus on getting buckets, because that's pretty much what he does anyway. I could see him still being a second closer behind KD, because if you want my honest opinion, he is the second best closer on that team behind KD, not Harden. But Ken, you brought up all those great points. Like, we don't know what's going to happen in the reality world. We can, you know, fantasize about, you know, on paper, but in reality, we may not get shit and he may get traded.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is, like, if you're Harden, this is great for you because you go to a pressure reduced situation. You don't have to worry about being the guy anymore. Now, you could very well turn it to Paul George, where you don't have the responsibilities of being the main guy, but the secondary responsibilities become too much for you. Because what happens if KD drives, you get double teamed, you pass it to Harden. So, and he's wide open and it's like 5 seconds left on the clock and they're down by one. You know, what happens there? Or what happens when he starts missing all those shots? You know, we know that in Houston, there were moments in fourth quarters where he wouldn't even take shots in the fourth quarter. He would always pass it to his teammates. We've talked about it multiple times when we watch games together, like, what is Harden doing? Why is Harden passing the ball? Oh, he's scared. Now in that situation, you don't have to worry about that anymore. So that's going to be interesting. But I think he gets a chance to unleash KD. And I think also, last thing is that it's really putting Nash in a easy situation, but I think a very difficult situation, because that's a lot to manage.
Yeah, I think he regretting taking that money.
Well, he got, you know, he got a lot of support with those other coaches. I mean, D'Antoni coached James Harden, so he's familiar with him. And I think that for a player like James Harden, the relief of not having that pressure, same thing we talk about Giannis a lot of times, you know, put him in a situation like this and he should thrive because he don't have that tight pressure. So there is no fourth quarter pressure. Like AD shouldn't feel that tight pressure. He got LeBron with him. You know, he should be able to step up and make the plays that he didn't make in Houston because he has support behind him to back him up. But we just have to see how that cookie crumbles and how the ball goes and how that profit sharing is, because your numbers are going to suffer, but they should suffer for the greater good. And my only problem with it is I liked how that team looked as constructed that first game. And I know it was just one game, but it was a glimpse into what you should see going forward. And they just had balance. They had depth. They had everything that you could ask for in a team. And they were surefire in most people's minds. They were already, might as well not even play the season, just get to the finals. And that's just how it looks. And then Woody went down, and it just went haywire from there. So that's a great show. We had the season finale. We waiting on the next season of that show to start. So I just can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Me either, because y'all know I love drama.
Yeah. I wish they were doing, like, you know how Hard Knocks? I wish we had a Hard Knocks on this team. That would be awesome. No,
they'll never do that. That would be too exclusive.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, let's get into these top five lists. I know B been waiting on it ever since we announced it in the chat. Boy, I can already tell he ready to go. And I want to start with the big man. The big man don't get much love these days. So we're gonna start, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, we're gonna start for the bottom up. Start with the center's position. Now most of the NBA is positionless, so I'm not gonna be surprised by some of y'all answers, but I stuck to my traditional viewpoint of a big man, a center.
I did too.
And I'll start like how y'all do with dead end. We'll start from five and go all the way to one. So I'll start off. I got Rudy Gobert at five. I got Karl-Anthony Towns at four. I got Vucevic at three, Embiid at two, and Joker at one. Who you got, Sheldon?
Mine's a little different than yours. I got Rudy Gobert at five for the defense. I got Bam at four. Bam was just impressive to me. I got Cat at three. This one was tough for me. Joker's my favorite, but I got him at two and Embiid at one.
Mm. That's that Philly, boy. That's that Philly. That's fan all, favorite kicking in.
That's all. I love Joker though.
Do you?
You want me to go next, Ken, or you going next?
I can go. All right, so number five, I got DeAndre Ayton. Number four, I have Carl Anthony Towns. Number three, I have Bam. And my top two positions are just like Shelton's. Joker at two and Embiid at number one.
Yeah, at five, I got Ayton from the Suns. At four, I got Rudy. At three, I got Bam. We talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago. I can't really hate whichever position you have these guys ranked at. I got Joker at two and Embiid at one.
Damn. What was your top two, Nick?
Mine was Embiid at two. Yeah, Joker at one and Embiid two.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I thought I was going to be the only one to have it that way. So, yeah.
My question, y'all had Ayton on there. I think it was just you and B had it. So did you have Ayton on your list?
No, I didn't have Ayton on mine. I forgot about it.
Yeah, what was talk about why
the CP3 effect. CP3 effect. Yep. Just like when CP3 was playing that when it was New Orleans Hornets, he turned David West into like damn near a top five power forward those years that David West was in New Orleans. And what happened when David West went away from CP3? He was just a role player, or just a fit guy. Like,
yeah,
he was. I think he was an all star. Him and Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler were freaking all stars playing with CP3. So yeah, I mean, and now, don't get me wrong, Ayton. I always thought Ayton was a good center, even for when he came in the league. But I just think this year he's definitely going to take a couple of steps up just by playing alongside CP3 this year. So that's why I got him in my five.
I couldn't have said it better. That's exactly why I put him on my list too.
Where did you have him? Where did y'all have him?
Five.
Yeah, five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have Gobert on my list.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that.
He don't do enough besides play defense.
You been talking to Shaq. That's why you ain't.
Yeah, Shaq ruined it for me, man. Shaq ruined it for me. But, you know, props to what he's a specialist at. No knock on that. I wouldn't want him on my team if I had to choose a center out of these other guys.
His stats are better than Ayton. But, I mean, no, we can't just go by that. But he averages over two blocks a game. Ayton averages one. He has – averages 13 rebounds a game. Eight and averages 11 points is about the same at 12.
Yeah, Ayton is not a good defensive player, but Ayton is a better offensive player than Gobert, even though it doesn't bear it out statistically. But you can give it to him; he can score in the post. He got the mid range. Mm-hmm. He's just not
very good. He got range. Good.
Yeah,
he got so. Arsenal, man. Ayton got nice arsenal to be a big guy, man. I like his game. What you call it? Who had Vucevic? That was a good pick.
That was me.
That was a good pick.
That was a good pick because I think he averaging a double. I think he averaging like 20 and 12 or something like that.
He's averaging 22 and 11 and three assists.
22 and 11. Yeah. I was about to say Vucevic. That was a good pick. I was looking at him too.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I think with Bam, man, like I just
I didn't have Bam on my list,
bro. Yeah, and
you said what?
No, I just said I just like everything he does, man. I love his game. He's improved every single year. He fills the stat sheet, which is why I had him a little bit above Cat, and I think he's tough. And he got that bump because he's tough over Cat. Cat's not tough. He hasn't shown toughness. I'm not going to say he's not tough. He hasn't shown toughness in the NFL. Jimmy Butler would say he's not tough. You know, I'm not going to say it, but Jimmy told us that he's not tough. So because of that, I think I want somebody that's going to be a little bit of a dog that's not going to back down if I'm going into the playoffs. So I would take him over Cat, even though I know Cat can score. But Bam can score too.
I didn't have Bam on my list because I need one more year.
One more?
I need one more.
Man.
I'm with if he does the same thing that he's been doing, I'm with y'all. I'll put him on my list over Cat.
He made it to the finals though, Nick.
Jimmy made it to the finals. You know what I'm saying? That's Jimmy.
Jimmy's team. Come on, man.
That's Jimmy team, man. Come on. Is that not Jimmy team? Is it Bam's team or is Jimmy's team?
Bam carried them to the finals.
Did Bam have a triple-double? Did he go toe for toe with LeBron?
In the Eastern Conference Finals, everybody that watched saw Bam carry them to the finals. Jimmy was shit.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, he wasn't shit, but he definitely, like, he wasn't that superstar that everybody was panning him out to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, he didn't, it was moments where Jimmy kind of didn't show up. I mean, he showed up in the finals, but yeah, in the Eastern Conference Finals, it was definitely, Bam was definitely their star. Like, for that series, Bam was definitely the vocal point in that series.
And Tyler Hero.
I need one more year. I'm with y'all. Okay. All right. We can move on to power forward. My personal all-time favorite position. Anybody, B, you want to start this one? Starting from five and going up?
We can. At five, I got a Sabonis from Indiana. At four, even though I almost didn't put him in at all, but Paige Siakam, I got him at four. At three, I got Zion. At two, I got Giannis. And one, I got AD.
Who was your 4B? I didn't hear it.
My four is Siakam.
Okay.
Siakam.
See, these lists are going to be a little off because we are playing positionless basketball now. So some of these people are not considered the position. So in mine, for example, me and you had the same four after one. But my five was Sabonis. My four was Siakam. My three was AD. My two was Giannis. And my one was KD. KD is a four on this Brooklyn team.
Yeah, he's always been the three in my – he's three.
On this particular team, he plays the power forward position.
He can play the power forward.
Yeah, that's
not I'll go next. Yeah. So I have John Collins at five, Sabonis at four. Zion is a power four, right?
Yeah.
I got him – Yeah, I got Zion at three, man. And then I have Giannis at
two. Come
on,
man.
And I got Anthony Davis at one.
Get the fuck out of here, Ken.
Stop hating, man.
We're going to talk about that, nigga. I'm going to go to my list. This is the factual list. Five, I got John Collins. Four, I got Julius Randle. It's a sin that y'all don't got Julius Randle on none of y'all list. Three, I got AD. Two, I got Giannis, and one, I got KD. So, like,
Wait a minute, man. You said that you need one more year, Bam. This is the first year Randall even put on.
What do you mean it's the first year? You don't watch the Knicks. You don't watch the Knicks.
No. But exactly. He ain't played until this year like that.
You ain't watching regardless. The Knicks.
And you don't need a. What did he average last year? Let me look and see.
He's a walking double-double. What are you talking about?
Since when?
What you mean since when? Since he been with the Knicks?
Nobody's scared of Julius Randle, bro.
What did he do in the bubble?
The Knicks bias.
They ain't make it to the bubble.
the New York Knicks bias is oozing out right now, Nick.
Bro, it ain't no bias, bro. You got the stats. Hold on, let me pull up the numbers. Julius Randle is it.
I know his numbers, but dang, bro.
Well, because I ain't got Sabonis.
Man. No, I'm just saying, like,
is this right?
Y'all coming at me with Julius Randle like he ain't have Zion, who's barely even played 60 games just yet.
He's been healthy this year. I don't know what the criticism is. I don't get it.
Yeah, he's been.
I'm saying, what sample size are we going on? We only have a full year of this nigga.
I may have had him a little too high. I do believe that. He probably should have came in at five. Yeah, I think three was a little too high. I probably should put him at five. Now that I think about it, at five. So I'm gonna amend my list. I think he should come in right at the edge. I'm gonna give your point a little bit of credence, Nick. So I'm gonna put him at five, and then
can I go out the list and put Randle in, and then I'll be happy.
Hell no. Zion is way better than Julius Randle.
He ain't averaging better stats than Julius Randle. I'll let you know that right now.
You don't have to. He has a more loaded team. He's sharing the ball with Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and all these other guys.
What you mean? Randall sharing the ball with RJ.
With who?
Yeah, he laughing because he knew that was a bullshit answer. He had been laughing like a motherfucker. Yeah.
Black Kevin Love. That's what he gets right.
Don't say that again, Kev. Break my heart every time you say it.
Averages are about the same, and I love Zion, but I want him to rebound better. I feel like he could give me more of himself, not where he ranks with other people. I just want him to give me more. I would push him harder.
Yeah, I think he'll rebound better.
That's it. That's what I need from him.
I don't know if he will.
He should be a rebounding monster with the way he play.
Because yeah, go ahead. Now finish up.
I was just gonna say, man, I would sit with a Dennis Rodman or somebody like that. Like, look, you need to be averaging a double double. There's no reason for him not to. With the way, with his size, all he needs to do is position. Get with a Larry Johnson. Let him work with Larry Johnson. Why not? He's in the Carolina area anyway, so let him work out with him so he can work on rebounding.
I think it's just the way. I think it's his play style. When I watch him play, like, he's not even really attempting to go get rebounds, which is to your point. Like, there's no effort to do that. But I think it's just the way he's playing right now. I think, you know, like B said, over time, you know, I think that'll be something he'll improve on, or with the right coach to come in and you know, take your approach and be like, hey, bro, I need 10 of these a night at least. You know, so, you know, we'll see. We'll see how he develops with that particular skill set.
I think the coach really just wants him to be like, just play. Find yourself in the NBA first before mm-hmm. we start building on anything. Because like I said, he don't even have a year's worth of tape to even go off of. So I think they're just trying to see what he can do and what he can't do. But he damn sure ain't top five. All right.
He'll be my number six. Yeah.
They said you're smoking weed, Nick. But put in Julius over Zion.
All right. This is, man, don't make me go into the comments. All right, we're moving on to the next position. Small forward. So this may be different for some of y'all lists too. Ken, go ahead and start it off.
All right. So I have B.I., Brandon Ingram at 5, Kawhi at 4, Tatum at 3, Durant at 2nd, and LeBron at the number one spot.
So is LeBron not a point guard?
No, I don't have a shooter.
LeBron has always been a small forward.
Yeah. They just always just call him point. Yeah, they just call him point forward because he brings the ball up, you know, oftenly, but he's not a point.
We fucking up Sheldon List.
I mean, because I
you had LeBron as point. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
LeBron is small forward.
I was torn on that anyway. I still consider him a point, man. But he is a point forward, but constructs the offense. He's the one that sets everything up. If you bring the ball up primarily, then that's what you are. So is Ben Simmons a point guard?
Ben Simmons is a point. He damn sure ain't a shooting guard.
We should have probably created a new hybrid position for some of these players. You know, like a Luka.
Stop cheating, man.
I about to say, just say your damn list, so, nigga. Damn shit. You interrupted Ken.
So is Luka a point guard or a small forward?
We'll get to that when we get to that. Ken, finish your list.
Go ahead, Ken.
You say point B?
No, I said, go ahead, Ken. Wait, did you finish?
Oh, I'm done. But you said Luka was a point. Yeah. Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah. Okay, my list, I got Brandon Ingram at 5, Kawhi Leonard at 4, Jason Tatum at 3. I know some people say he played power forward. I always look at him as a small forward as well. He can play both positions, but I got him at 3. Kevin Durant at 2 and LeBron James at 1.
Dang, my nigga B. Get the same list.
I know, right? Ain't that crazy? That's crazy.
But y'all always have the same list, don't you?
Not always.
Y'all be sharing notes.
They be working on that. Yeah,
they be sharing no damn.
They be sharing notes. they call each other after the show. They be like, hey, what you put at 4? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, I'll do the same.
I just put my list together on the spot tonight when I sat down.
Yeah, I had my list for a few days now, man.
After I turned on the lights, because I got tired of them talking about me.
Oh, that's why you turn the lights on.
So what's your list?
I don't know, man.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Bro, go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, my list is, it actually switched a little bit. Now I'm looking at it. I'm thinking about it. But I got Tobias Harris at five.
All right. Next. Where people at? All right. Go ahead. My bad.
Tobias Harris at five. Brandon Ingram at four. Jason Tatum at three. Kawhi at two. And I'll put LeBron at one since we're making him a small forward.
So Tobias is your Julius Randle.
This is 2021, man. He's having a good year.
You sounded like Nick right now. Go ahead.
I think he's averaging almost 20 points a game. He's played well this year.
He has.
Yeah, he's had a good year.
Mm-hmm. That's bullshit.
My honorable mention would be Gordon Hayward.
All right, let's move on.
Hayward.
Come on,
Hayward. Wow!
I always got to just represent for Charlotte.
I would have my honorable mention would be Jimmy Butler.
Not this year.
Wow, he's a superstar. What you talking about, Shelton?
I don't know what he's talking about because I'm gonna show you my list right here. All right, I got Brandon Ingram at five. I got Jason Tatum at four. I got Jimmy Butler at three. I got Kawhi Leonard at two, and I got LeBron James at one.
And Jimmy Butler is averaging 15 points a game this year.
I trust him more at his position than I do Jason Tatum.
You 15 this year.
15 points.
I trust him more at his position than I do Jason Tatum.
Has Jimmy Butler hit a game-winning shot this year?
Has Jason Tatum ever been to an NBA Finals?
I know Jason Tatum has hit some game-winning shots.
I know he ain't been to no NBA Finals.
Jimmy Butler is the third. Gabe Vincent is averaging the same thing as Jimmy Butler on the same team. Who is Gabe Vincent? Do you even know?
All I know is Jimmy Butler is a superstar and he balled out in that NBA Finals, and I'm carrying that on to this.
This is 2021, Nick.
I'm carrying that up. I told y'all my criteria is from last year and what's going on this year. He's still tired. He's still at the stadium hunched over. All right, because he put on the game of his life. I have not seen that effort nor that success from Jason Tatum
in 2021. So no, you have not. You have not seen any of the effort this year.
Man.
The year's still 14, 15 days young. Come on.
Look, man, B and I, we tried to tell all of y'all, Q2. We tried to tell Q, who came over here and caping for him. We tried to tell y'all, it's like, you know, he just played lights out, but he wasn't there. Nobody listen.
We going to see.
I'm not going to listen. Now, we see.
Hold on. Tobias Harris, though. What the fuck, man?
19-7. 19-8, as a matter of fact. He's 7.9. He's second leading scorer on the team. And he's playing great basketball with Joel Embiid since he plays. They win. Where are they ranked? Number two? This is 2021. Y'all better look at these stats. This boy's playing ball. Come on, man.
I don't have to look at the stats. He's the same guy he's been the last couple of years.
Nothing about
his game has like been elevated. He's the same player. I mean, his numbers are better, but he's the same guy. There's no way I'm putting him over Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Well, he had Kevin Durant at power forward.
He's not over Kevin Durant at all. Mm-mm. No, he's five, but he's in the top five this year. Yes.
Wow.
By far this year.
You only saying that because he looked like J. Cole and he's from Charlotte. Man,
that's terrible.
We gonna watch the Philly game. We gonna watch.
I watched Philly not game.
Let me see what they did tonight.
I watched Philly game.
Nobody watches Philly games for Tobias Harris.
No.
Except for his mama. Maybe his mama. Even then, she looking at Embiid. She got an Embiid jersey on, room for him.
he had 18 tonight in 30 minutes. They sent him down early.
Yeah, I would too. All right, let's move on to the shooting guards.
We'll be back after this quick break.
All right, I'm gonna start this one off. At number five, I got Devin Booker. Number four, I have CJ McCollum. Number three, I have Bradley Beal. Number two, I got Donnie Mitchell. And number one, I got James Harden.
Was that before or after the trade?
That was in between the trade. Okay. Going by Shelton rules, he a point guard now.
Man, who next?
Go ahead, Sean.
All right, so my top five shooting guards this year. Number five, I got Devin Booker. Number four, I got D. Mitch. Number three, I have Paul George. Number two, I got Bradley Beal. And number one, I got James Harden. And Paul George, be what it may, the man is playing good ball this year. On a good season. He's the lead scorer on the second best team in the West right now.
He's an honorable mention to me.
He was my honorable mention for small forward because I looked at him as a small forward as well.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead, B.
Mine's at number five, I got James Harden. At four, I got CJ McCollum. At three, I got Bradley Beal. Two, I got Donovan Mitchell. And one, Dev Booker.
Wow.
All right.
See, that's based off potential, B. That can't be off play. Because how is Devin Booker?
Okay, let me get my list first.
Let him get his list here. Yeah. Sarah got issues with you, B. He got issues.
Yeah. Devin Booker, man. That's come on, man.
Potential. We already know what Devin Booker can do. It ain't no potential.
All right, hold on, hold on. I got CJ at five. I got Bill at four. I got Harden at three. I got Spider Mitchell at two. And I got Booker at number one.
Oh man, y'all tripping. Man.
Oh my goodness. All right. Let's talk about it. First of all, B, why you got Harden at five? Come on, bro.
I told you what I'm basing off of this year. What has he done this year so far?
Been unstoppable.
Huh?
He's been unstoppable.
At the club. I mean, if you want to take your route, Shelton, his numbers are down right now compared to what he's been doing in the previous years. So numbers are the same. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just going off this year. Booker's numbers are down.
But no, Booker, he's just the best. Booker's the best all-around two guard right now to me.
Man, I saw Booker.
Booker
score like 4 points.
He's the best. He's the best two guard. To me, Bradley Beal, them three right there are better than James Harden today.
But Bradley Beal is not better.
Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker are better than James Harden today. And I love CJ. Hey. I like his game. So that's
based off those standards, Bradley Beal is number one. Bradley Beal averages 35 points a game.
It's not about points.
I wouldn't have no issue with someone.
I wouldn't have no issue if
someone put Bradley Beal number one right now. I wouldn't have no issue with that.
Because you got to think about, like, Bradley Beal is the only scoring option in Washington.
Yeah.
So, of course, and he had a 60-point game. So I struggled with you know, him, you know, placing him. But, you know, that low because he's having a really, really great campaign this year. So is CJ. But, he's going to average 35 points. Who else going to score on that team?
And I agree. Like I said, I wasn't saying that he deserved to be number one because he wasn't my number one either. But at the same time, based off that theory, I mean, I'm trying to see what Devin Booker has done that he hadn't. Even taking a Jaylen Brown, for example, Jaylen Brown averages 26 points a game, 27 points a game. I mean,
this is the way Booker can score, man.
Yeah.
My only notch on Booker, and I've said this before when we compared him to Klay Thompson, was I think, you know, of course, Klay was a better defender than Dev Booker. If Dev Booker can kind of commit more defensively a little bit, I mean, damn, he'd be damn near like the perfect shooting guard. But yeah, Dev Booker can just do it all, man. He can score in he got so many spots on the court and so many ways he can score on you, man. And of course, the CP3 factor. I think he'd definitely still play good, you know, playing along CP3. So I have no, and then Donovan Mitchell. I mean, I'm not just basing off this year. Donovan Mitchell has been that dog, you know, for the past 2 or 3 years. You know what I'm saying? He's not shrunk in big moments, like unlike Harden. We've seen Harden. We've all said Harden shrunk in big moments plenty of time. And I'm just saying, if I'm not basing off this year. So Donovan Mitchell at least stepped up in big moments a lot. I mean, unfortunately, of course, the better team won. But Donovan Mitchell himself, we never see him back down. So that alone, I'm putting him over Harden. Harden is five right now. And that's really out of respect because, you know, at one point I would still say Harden was like top three, top two, you know, either some cases, maybe certain years, best shooting guard in the league. But I'm just putting him five just from what I've seen him, how he's acting mentally and professionally. And that's about it. But like, it's out of respect, really. I still got him in my top five.
We haven't seen Devin Booker unleashed yet.
Yep.
And I think that could very well be coming soon. But I think it's the CP3 is really keeping that team balanced. But they know, man, when they need to get it, they know who to go to.
Right. You know,
Booker, that guy.
Booker's nice, but once again, we can't go off what we know he can do. It's what he's doing. So we seen James Harden do it. We ain't seen
Booker this year, though.
This year, the games that he's played, he played well. That's what I'm saying.
Isn't he averaging like 16 points a game this year?
I mean, he's clearly out of you could tell he's not like fully in shape yet, but I mean, he's playing still the same way. I mean, James Harden got the kind of game where it doesn't predicate off athleticism, really. James Harden can still play that the way he's playing, you know, in his old man game. You know what I'm saying? He just probably won't be as fast with the Barack, but that's James Harden game, what we're seeing right now. That's what we're going to see.
Yeah,
going to Brooklyn is going to impact him too. So that's why I bumped him down.
James Harden this year is average. Well, yeah, if you say that, I see his numbers dropping there. But he's averaged 25 and 10 this year in five rebounds, which still beats Booker's numbers by far. Chris left a super chat. Appreciate you, Chris. He said, y'all disrespecting Jaylen Brown. I'm not. I did give him an honorable mention. But, yeah, I can't put him in the five.
He wouldn't pick none of them motherfuckers that we picked over Jaylen Brown if he had to choose between, like, that our list and Jaylen Brown. Everybody going to pick these.
I mean, Jaylen Brown is an honorable mention, though. I mean, Jaylen Brown.
Now, I know. I understand that he's an honorable mention for a reason, though. That's what I'm saying. He good, but he ain't on this list.
Jaylen Brown. Yeah, right. Yeah, he's not in top five.
Well, I'm disrespecting him. So
you don't like Jaylen Brown, Ken?
He all right, man. He all right.
I like his game, man.
You do?
I like his game.
I don't know, man. It just
and he play on both sides of the floor too. So I mean,
it's just something about him. Don't do it for me.
Hey, we got a super, super chat from Ironic MDKK. What is this? I don't know what that
is. He said, Nick, get a new green screen.
That's another currency, Shelton.
Oh, okay. So never mind.
Don't get too high.
Yeah. So it might be 45 cents.
That's funny.
But, Nah, I don't. No, that don't look like a new green screen to me.
Hey, I'm working on shit. All right, damn.
He keep disappearing.
I'm not right.
Fading in and out. That's funny, but we appreciate
Kaylin
that.
Did have a super chat as well. Appreciate you, Kaylin. Kaylin, don't call me Sheldon no more. What did Kaylin say though? He didn't say nothing. Hey, we appreciate it.
I'm not hating on Jaylen Brown, y'all. And I don't care if Jaylen Brown outplaying Tatum, according to some of y'all. Tatum's that guy, man. We all know it, and Jaylen do too. So, you know, I just ain't seen it yet. It's just something about him.
All right, let's move on to last but not least, the quarterback position of the NBA, the point guard position. Anybody want to start this off? B, you got this?
I do hate the Celtics, by the way. Yes, I do hate the Celtics.
I started off at five, I got CP3. At four, I got Ja Morant. At three, I got Luka. At two, I got Dame. And one, I got Steph Curry.
Ooh. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Mine at five, I got Malcolm Brogdon. Have y'all been watching Indiana? Yeah.
Go ahead with your list, bro. Don't listen to him. Go ahead with your list.
At four, I got Chris Paul. I'm sorry, I got Trae Young. I'm sorry. At three, I got Chris Paul. At two, I got Luka. And at one, I got Steph Curry.
Okay.
what am I missing here? I'm missing Dame. Hold up, I'm missing Dame.
Yeah, I was about to say, how the hell you put
I forgot Dame. I'm sorry.
You put Malcolm over Dame?
He put Malcolm Brogdon over Dame.
He even missed Dame Miller in his damn five Dame. Because he put Malcolm Brogdon in his damn list.
I left Dame off. Dame is actually three for me. I'm sorry.
You got Gizmo over here looking crazy as hell because of that damn.
Put Trae Young and Malcolm Brogdon is over Dame.
I forgot Dame altogether. I didn't mean to put them above Dame. So forgive me, Dame. That was very disrespectful.
Hell nah.
Let me correct that. I just forgot Dame.
Do that list again. Do your list real quick.
Let me do my list again.
Please.
Malcolm Brogdon is five. Four is Chris Paul. Three will be Luka. Two is Dame. And one is Steph. Trae Young is my honorable mention.
And Brogdon? Brogdon just drop off the list altogether?
No. Dame. He was five.
You left him on the list?
Yes, sir. Offense and defense, baby. And he getting it done this year. You better watch that, man. He's doing it on both ends for that team.
You might as well say Marcus Smart.
He's holding that team together, man. No, not Marcus Smart.
That's what I'm saying. He's
leading him in scoring and assists. He's scoring the same thing as what's your boy Booker? And he has 7.5 assists, more assists than Booker, and he's playing better defense. He's playing ball.
50-49. Okay.
He's a top 5 point guard.
All right. Y'all better watch that, man.
You wanna go, Ken?
See, let me tell you the mistake we're making, though. The mistake that we're all making is we're going off what we feel traditionally people should be ranked, not how they're playing this year. It's evident people ain't watching these games because, once again, if you watch Malcolm Brogdon play, you'll see that he's stopping the opposing point guard. He's slowing him down rather than nothing else, but he's playing better defense than most, and he's also scoring his points on offense, and his team is winning with him as the leading scorer and the leading assist man. What more do you want from him? It's 2021. We're not talking about 2020.
Hey, bro, I know what more. This is your list. You ain't got to explain it to us.
I can tell you what more I want from him. Nothing. But I'll tell you what I do want over him. Give me Chris Paul at five. Give me Kyrie at four. Give me Ben Simmons at three. Give me Dame at two and give me Curry at one.
Mm-mm. Mm, so, Lucas, what is Luca to you?
Yeah, shit.
Nothing.
Oh, my God. Come on, man.
I already knew it.
Come on, man.
He said he ain't shit to him, man. All right. Man. My list is, I got Russell Westbrook at five. I got Chris Paul at three. I have Luka at four.
You mean Chris Paul at four.
Yeah, Chris Paul at four, Luka at three, Curry at two, and Dame at one.
Yeah. You say Russ is five?
Yeah.
Oh.
Westbrook.
He said Westbrook. Hey, Ken, I'm surprised you put Kyrie on your list.
You know what? I struggle with that, B. I know he's missed the last couple of games, but man, when he's been on the court, bro.
Hey, when he balling, he balling.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. But man,
I almost took him off because of his antics and because what could potentially happen. But I'm gonna give him at the end of the day, man. From what I've seen from him so far this year, when he was on the court, like he's damn near been unstoppable. So. That's why I had him so low. That's why I had him at four.
And Nick, the one and two, I have no issue between the one and two. Your one and two, like you can swap it around.
Yeah, Curry earned him my respect a little bit with these
because he bust Dame ass the
other night. Right,
he lit his ass up for like 60 some points.
Shit. I need the full season of this. I need to see if he can do this for the full season.
I think Steph is back. I mean, unless he gets injured, Steph is back. Steph is back to remind y'all motherfuckers, man. He's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, He's back.
Yes, Steph is back. And I mean, them having Draymond Green back, it helps that team a lot.
And where does Russell play again now?
Washington.
The team he thinks that's going to win 50-plus games.
So Russell and Julius Randle both made your list.
Russell, hey, his averages are still nice.
Yeah, when he play.
So I'll take my Malcolm Brogdon against Russell any day.
You crazy.
Any day.
You're insane.
Any day. Yes. You talking about the leading scorer on the number four team in the East against the last place, the last place team in the East.
What team is Brogdon on?
Indiana.
The Pacers.
Indiana. 23-7.
They the first last person team at 23-7. Damn playoffs too.
Right, 50-40-90 will be out of there.
Not this year. Not when Vert get there.
Yeah, Manny, I'm sorry, Manny. I don't have Luka on any of my list. It's not my fault. He shouldn't play so many damn positions. But yeah, no, I'm good. Do I got any white people on my list?
Luka, the point. You silly as hell. Okay.
Oh, I got some bonus. I got some bonus on here.
I got Joker and Vucevic. That's like
Look at that dude, man.
Luke, nah, yeah, you're insane, Ken, for having him off your list, bro. Come on, I can't even support you.
He overrated.
Oh God.
No, he overrated.
He's not overrated.
He does is run up the court, jump into people, and then throw passes when like five people run at him to somebody in a corner somewhere.
No, Luke ain't overrated, man. Luke game nice. Sometimes when I'm watching him, I'm like, yo, how is he doing this? Like, I watch the game and look up. He damn near got triple double. I'm like, what was he doing? But
me too, B. Yeah, and I'd be like, this is some bullshit.
He played like he
got
his like
he got his spots on the court, man. Like
for
him to be
thing,
so non athletic, he's doing it just like how Bird did it in his day. Like Bird wasn't the most athletic dude. Bird just had his spots, man. He was a smart player.
Yeah, 27-10-9. You can't make those stats up.
I mean, I like the stats, just his IQ, his feel for the game. I'm not even looking at stats. I'm just like, when I see him play, whenever a player plays like that and make it look easy, man, like that shit is awesome.
He's like a white Giannis to me. He's just, I don't know.
No, he got game. He definitely.
Nah, he played in the playoffs. He played. He was doing his thing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played ball and played. Them he got,
hey, KP is back, so let's see how long he going to play before he get in.
Man, fuck KP. Yeah, he going to be right back out, too.
You take Julius Randle any day.
Boy, hey, that's my nigga JR. You really?
Oh, man. Man, this
put
was
respect
fun.
On Brogdon name. We got some more super chats, Shelton?
Nah, I don't see nothing else. I don't see any of that Manny talking about. Manny said something, but Manny had surgery today, so he still got that.
I got it. Don't. We not even letting you.
Manny said, please drug test Shelton for that Tobias Harris pick. Hey, Manny, I'm drug testing Shelton for the Tobias pick and for the Malcolm pick. Malcolm Brogdon.
Y'all
he did.
Y'all gonna respect Malcolm Brogdon now.
It was worse than that.
Malcolm Brogdon, definitely. You said what, Nick?
It was worse than that because he put Trae Young on top of that.
Yes, I did. It was an accident. It was not an accident. There's a reason why. What is their record anyway?
Trae is honorable mention. If I was to go honorable mention on my point guard list, Trae would be honorable mention. And the reason why I'm taking him out, the only reason why I'm taking him out really is just like that dude plays not a lick of defense. Like the coach does a great job of like shelling him defensively and not like getting him. Because Trae plays, I feel like I can go out there on the court and bust Trae ass a couple of times because he plays no defense.
Hey, Indiana is 7-4. What do you think the reason for their success is?
Indiana's always been like that four middle of the road team, 4 or 5 seed team. They're going to be that again this year. They was that way before Malcolm Brogdon got there. They're going to be that way still.
What, middle of the road?
Yeah, like that 4 seed, 5 seed. They're going to always be like 4 or 5 seed.
But I guess if he's the leading scorer, wouldn't you think that that's saying something?
No, that just says Paul George left and they need somebody to score.
I mean, well, they got the Victor gone, and you know, TJ Warren was a bubble guy, but then you see what happened when the playoffs came. TJ Warren disappeared. Them 45 points he was doing regular season bubble was different. Came playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know somebody asked why Ben Simmons. I just like everything that he does. And he hit a three this year. So I think that, you know, he's going to get a little bonus for that.
He's going to give you a participation trophy, man.
Yeah. But it was tough with point. There's really a lot of good point guards, man, that could have made the list. And
I got an honorable mention, Sexton, point guards.
Who?
Sexton.
Colin Sexton played the two. Yeah. He plays the two, doesn't he?
Nah, no, I thought he played the one.
I think Darius Garland played the one.
Garland plays the one. He plays the two.
Well, shit, he a guard nonetheless.
He's having a good year statistically, but I haven't.
Yeah, I have to say it like that.
I haven't watched the Cavs play, so I can't really speak on that.
Yeah, he's a scorer. He's gonna put the ball in the basket. That's what he does. He ain't gonna do much else, but he's gonna put that ball in the basket. He ain't passing it. Mm-hmm. At all.
I'll be right back, y'all. Let me take this dog out real quick.
That's all the questions I got.
Hey, B is a better dog owner than FIFO. I ain't know.
Boy, all I see is FIFO yell at that motherfucker. He don't even take care of
it. So, I know we've been having this discussion. Somebody said we need to start the show over. I know we've been talking about in the chat Corona, and since that time we've seen quite a few games postponed, similar to the college football, I say, had the most postponements, and Major League Baseball, I think football had one or two here or there. I mean, do y'all think that that they're going to make it through? I think that seemed to really be the topic of discussion.
With the NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I think that, especially with the second strand they're talking about coming out, and then we're still in the cold winter days of the season. I think they'll take a substantial break between February and March. Like, as we get into February, yeah. I think they'll take like a 2-week break. Because I saw some reports about that coming out anyway. Like, they may take a 2-week break. But I think between February and March, we're going to see a stoppage for a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that 2-week break could be in the business continuity plan, which is why they floated it out there. I think, it, you know, them having to shut down teams, I think what they should do, honestly, is just bring some of these G League players up. You know, and grant some exceptions since it's such, you know, an extraordinary circumstance, maybe grant some exceptions just to get through the games, you know, here and there. But, you know, I think they're really just trying to get through January and February and just kind of see where things check in at the end of February as things begin to warm up. One of the things that kind of came to my mind in watching some of these teams early on is that I don't think we've really seen like the best of teams yet. And I believe that COVID is definitely impacting, you know, a lot of these organizations, and not from teams that just don't have enough people to suit up. But I think like some of these younger teams that's playing out of their minds that got hot starts, like Cleveland and, you know, Atlanta, I'm going to throw them in there, that, you know, got off to a fast start. One, because they didn't play deep into the season. And two, I think partly because of Corona, like, teams ain't really got a chance to, the players and teams haven't really got a chance to get in sync yet. And I think these younger teams that were bad last year are taking advantage of it and stealing some games here and there. And I think at some point we're going to see a regression towards the mean, and we're going to see them teams start to bottom out and get back to what they normally were. Yeah, B, we were talking about Rona impacting the season and whether or not they were going to get through the season.
Oh, yeah. Because then Kyle posted a link about them possibly doing like a 7 or 14 day, like, you know, like.
Stop. Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Nick brought that up.
Yeah. If this keep going at the way it is going, I think I think at some point, even if they do manage to get through this regular season, I think they're going to bubble the playoffs again. I think they, I think they're going to probably try to get through this regular season and then bubble the playoffs. There's no way. There's no way they're not going to bubble if this still if the COVID still stays at the pace that it is. You got to bubble the playoffs, man. They're going to have to.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to. They're going to have to because they're already not having an all-star game. They're just going to have the players just going to be like off for like a week or whatever. And they just going to, you know, like name the all-stars and then that's it. Like, hey, this guy's nominated to the all-star. But I don't think they're going to have like.
Yeah, like a virtual all-star game or some shit.
I don't know. But they're not having like a traditional all-star weekend that we've been used to seeing. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because of COVID. They're going to be off just for that week.
Hell no, you can't have All-Star Weekend in COVID. That's where the motherfucking players go out and get people playing.
Yeah, you can't, man. So, yeah, they got a bubble. Which I'm surprised NFL didn't do that. I'm surprised NFL didn't try to, like, bubble their playoff system because you already see that March Madness is doing it. March Madness about to bubble their tournament once tournament time comes. So, I mean, that's smart. That's a smart thing to do. But yeah, I hope we don't have a, you know, 3-4 month delay in the NBA season, you know, this year, even though, like I said, numbers are still going up like crazy. Hopefully the vaccine stuff will kind of slow down or whatever. I don't know, man. I really don't know. But I hope we don't have a halt in the NBA season because, yeah, I want to watch my basketball, man.
Yeah, I think that they're going to play. They're going to figure it out. You won't get a couple month layoff. You may get a couple weeks, but you will not get a couple months. They're gonna get this money.
I can see that. I can see a 2 week layoff or something like that. Like, yeah, which was originally proposed. I can see that.
But they're gonna get through the season. There's no way they're gonna let football get all the money and they not get there. I just think it's about. I mean, whether it's a good idea or not, it's not what I'm saying. But I just don't see those guys, the powers that be, allowing money to stay on the table. They're already losing because they don't have fans, but to not have the game period, I don't think they can afford to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead. You got it.
Oh, I was going to say that super chat was from Chill Vibes. Appreciate you, Chill Vibes. Chill Vibes was asking me if I think this season has an asterisk as well. No, I don't. And the only reason I don't is because we were prepared for this time. Everybody knew what to expect going into it. So it's kind of like you're not making up the rules on the fly as you go, even though you still kind of are. It's not like it was during the bubble time. To me, like I said, you made up the rules as you went along. People were thinking they weren't going to play at all. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and we're going to have a season. So it's kind of like it sprung up on you. And I'm not saying that's an excuse for the players, but I'm just saying it's so different outside of the norm that you had to put. This year will always stand out. 20 years from now, 2020 is going to be like, oh, that was that year that stuff happened and we played in a bubble. You know what I'm saying? So regardless, there will always be an asterisk by 2020 to me. But no, not 21, because everybody knew what to expect. So if it happens again, you already prepared for it. You've been working out. You know you still got to play. So it's different now.
The Rockets got their first post-Harden win. Tonight versus the Spurs. Yep.
Hey, so shout out to them boys.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Stop it. What I do? I ain't do anything. Well, I always got to do something. But yeah, we appreciate you. Yeah, we appreciate you guys coming through, man. You know, splitting it up like this. You know, every week. You know, the show's going to be a little bit shorter because we're not squeezing everything into 2.5 hours. So, and that's all we have for the week. So we're working on like a format. I've been in discussion with Nick in terms of a format. So you guys will know what to expect when you come to the show every week. So, so we'll hope to have that rolled out very, very soon. If we go ahead and continue this format, but so far you guys appear to be liking it. And yeah, we just want to try to serve you guys as best we can content wise. And keep, you know, delivering. We hope you guys continue to be entertained. Subscribe to the show, please.
And, tell a friend. Tell a friend.
As please tell a friend. Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Yep. Tell a friend.
Yep. Oh, Luca. He heard about Luca. Yeah.
He said, yeah.
Hey man, there's
7 and 15 too.
Hey, there's always, you know, I said this on one of the audio reviews about hip hop. There's always one a few guys that's going to draw like my ire and be a target. So maybe it's Luka this year. We'll see.
That's him saying that he a hater. That he a natural born hater. No matter what. That's all he's saying.
Somebody said, talk about Meyer and the Jazz real quick. I don't have any thoughts on that yet. We will have a football show. Yeah, next week.
He didn't retire from coaching like four times, haven't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, he keeps saying this. You see how white people get out of work? They like, oh, yeah, my heart hurt.
Yeah.
And I quit. Then all of a sudden this nigga come back.
I'm like, dude, what's you know why he left Ohio State? Because of the scandal that went down there. But like he's always like trying to leave football and be done coaching football whenever he leave a team.
Yeah,
he picked a hell of a team.
But yeah, you know, I mean, and off the top of my head, I can't remember real quick. Do y'all know like any college football coaches that's been successful in the NFL? Because
Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Okay, one. Was anybody else? Like, I mean, I think the percentage Harbaugh is in favor for them to fail. Like, not
Harbaugh.
But we know what Nick Saban did. You know what Steve Spurrier did.
Right.
In the pros. You know what
Chip
I'm saying?
Kelly.
Yeah, so this is like the percentage of guys that go from college to pros and be successful is very slim. If Pete Carroll, the only person you can name, it's a good chance that Urban Meyer ain't going to do nothing with Jacksonville.
Jazz got the number one pick, right?
Yeah, they got number one.
Urban played this move, bro.
He played a smooth as fuck.
Yep.
He luck into every situation.
Yep.
He really did.
That's that white man luck I be telling you about, Ken.
You got Trevor Lawrence, man. Hell yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, and they got over $100 million in cap space, and they got more draft picks outside of Trevor Lawrence. He basically can run his college program there.
Yeah,
well, he might have more chances.
Is the GM still there?
I don't think so. I think they fired the GM with the coach.
Yeah, I think
maybe. I don't know.
Jimmy Johnson was good. Nick, one more question, then we're going to get out of here. It's from the chat. It's about your Knicks. And it's about Kevin Knox. He said, where should Kevin Knox go to get better? Like, how can he improve? What does he need to improve on?
To me, he needs to improve on his aggressiveness. I think he has the potential. He has all the talents to be a great player. He just doesn't. I feel like he's indecisive with his gameplay. And that's why he's so inconsistent with it too. Cause some nights he could go, I think there was a few games ago where he was just going off from the three. He's that talented, but you don't see that consistently. So he needs to continue to be aggressive.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. I don't watch any of them, but I know he was talented. But yeah, he just got,
we got talent, Ken. Don't sleep on. We got Obi-Wan Kenobi coming off the bench soon too. Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's what they call him in the streets.
All right. I'm gonna start watching some of the games, man. I want to see Barrett and that McKinley guy you were talking about.
Yeah, quickly.
Quickly, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They got a lot of Kentucky guys on there. That makes sense because one of the coaches on the coaching staff, he came from Kentucky.
Mm. Okay.
I appreciate it. Marty McFly said, remind everybody to hit that like button for us too, so you can help us out with the algorithms and help us grow this show.
Yes, definitely.
Please do that. Thank you, Shelton. I did want to point something out for Shelton that I saw the other day. Bobo got a start, bro.
He did.
He was
playing well just now. He just now turned the ball over. So I was thinking about FIFA when I saw it just now. I was laughing to myself. He just handed the ball over. Like, here, you take this. But yeah.
That's Bobo for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobo giving the ball away.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's FIFO's guy, man. FIFO is somewhere.
I thought it was your guy, too. Why are you throwing FIFO under the bus?
No. Bobo is FIFO's. I make fun of FIFO, Bobo. He's not mine. Mm-mm.
Are you sure? Do we got to go pull the tape?
Yeah, nah, look it up.
He don't need
I remember FIFO only really champion Bobo, really.
Yeah, I made fun of FIFO about Bobo playing because he kept saying he needs to play and that'll be okay. So I would say if he playing, they're going to win. That's what he would say. So, yeah, no, that's not me.
Because I still didn't believe what FIFO said about the Nuggets.
Yeah, I don't remember when I used to go in about Bobo and how I thought you were right there with FIFA, huh?
No.
Now he got Malcolm Brogdon. That's what he got.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon is my guy. That's why I'm sad about the All-Star game this year, because he ain't going to be playing the game, actually, his first year.
All right, so to wrap up, Brogdon, Harris, Julius Randle. So those are the three that we're going to watch.
Take Julius off that list. That's a bad list.
No, the biggest one name on there is the fact that you left Luka off your list.
Mm-mm. We talking about what made the list. So, wait. And Brogdon, and then, so those are the three. We're going to see if they keep it up since they top five players. All right. I feel like I'm missing somebody in the point guard, though. But I think it was because you left Dame off. But anyway.
Yeah, it was
actually. All right, well.
I'm sorry, Day.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to do it for us, man, this week. We'll catch you guys next week, next Tuesday, as we recap the divisional rounds in the NFL. And FIFA should be back as we get into more basketball talk as well. We'll see how Harden
does. I want to get his fives, too, like real quick.
Shot. Yeah. He said he'll give it next week for everybody. And then we'll have some games to watch or to discuss with Harden being on the Nets, and hopefully Kyrie will be back. So yeah, man, thank you guys for coming through. We'll catch you guys next week. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Today's episode of Waveform is brought to you by AT&T 5G. We expect a lot from our technology these days. It needs to be fast, reliable, secure, and nationwide. So just like Usain Bolt is the quickest runner on the planet, AT&T 5G is fast. Just like Mac the dog, who's always there and happy to see me, AT&T 5G is reliable. And just like the locks on my home, AT&T 5G is secure. So fast, reliable, secure, and nationwide. That's AT&T 5G. It's not complicated. 5G requires compatible plan, may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.